We're in the scriptures now in Mark chapter 8, in the Gospel of Mark chapter 8. And we're reading this morning verses 27 through 38 of God's Word. Mark 8, 27 through 38. God's people, let's hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus went out along with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he questioned his disciples, saying to them, "Who do people say that I am?" They told him, saying, "John the Baptizer," and others say, "Elijah," but others, "one of the prophets." And he continued by questioning them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ." And he warned them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he was stating the matter plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." And he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." As far as the reading of God's Word, he bless the expounding of it now. Many people had an idea about who Jesus was when he was on the earth. But you notice what people said. Of course, many people have an idea about what Jesus was then today. But notice what the people said, that the disciples knew that the people said. John the Baptizer, he was Elijah, or he was one of the prophets. And so these people who were around Jesus and who saw Jesus minister and heard Jesus speak with the authority that he spoke, these people, we could maybe say, got to step one. You could say they knew he was from God because they knew John the Baptizer was from God. They knew Elijah was from God. They knew the prophets were from God. He had been sent by God. And that is true. Jesus was sent by God the Father. And then the disciples, he asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Not who do they, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered for them, "You are the Christ." And he warned them not to tell anybody about him, that he was the Christ. And of course, he is the Christ. And we've heard that the last few Lord's days, if you only watched Jesus, you would have seen that he is the Christ. You would know that he is the Messiah, the promised one, through the covenants the Lord made to his people and all the promises in the scriptures that talk about what the Messiah, the Christ, would do and what he would be. And Jesus fulfills those things. And then we see Jesus teach his disciples that he needed to suffer many things. He needed to be rejected by the leaders of Israel and be killed, and then rise again on the third day. And Peter rebukes Jesus. You can't suffer. You can't die. You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. And Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. Peter, you are focused on your own desires and what you want, what man wants. And Peter is acting like Satan, the murderer who's the father of lies. Because the truth found in the Word of God is not unclear about the Messiah, the Christ, that he had to suffer. We think often of Isaiah 53, suffering servant. He had to die. Peter himself and all of those who believe the gospel, along with the disciples, would be saved to live. He had to die. And he had to rise from the dead. And if you want life, if you desire to come after me, Jesus says, then you must deny yourself and suffer. Take up your cross and follow me. You must follow in my steps as my people. And that means on this earth, suffering for my name's sake. And so, beloved, you are all called now, each one of you, to come and follow Jesus. Verse 35, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Let's pray. Father, there are many things in this world in which we have our own desires, our own wants, much like Peter had of his good friend Jesus, who is the Christ and the Messiah. We have many desires and wants for our own lives, and for our children's lives, and for our family's lives, and for many people's lives. And yet, Father, in this case, and in many cases, you have made promises and you have made your decrees eternally. And your ways are not our ways, thankfully. Because if we had our ways, it would end in chaos and death and obliteration to all. And that's why we praise you and thank you for Christ and Christ in our lives by your Spirit who has sent the Spirit of Christ in our hearts, who gives us new desires and new wants that are your wants and your desires. And yet still we have that remaining sin. And so, Father, we are asking that you would mortify our sin, that is to put it to death, that we would live unto you, holy and good, godly lives, for your glory. Father, we profess today that you are the Christ, your Son. That all the scriptures of the Old Testament that promised and looked forward to the one who would come to save your people, is your Son, Jesus. And he has fulfilled your promises. You've always been faithful. As we've heard so many times in the Scriptures and seen in our own lives. You're always faithful to your promises. And we praise you that your faithfulness is great and unending, unceasing. Father, we're thankful that you also give us the promise here and other places that as we follow you, we take up our cross and follow after you, we know by your promise that we will suffer. This life, especially as the Christian, is not easy. It is a life that we follow after you. That in our sufferings we would remember that great suffering that you took part in, and your humiliation, coming under the law, and dealing with sinful men on this earth and dying on the cross. We remember your sacrifice and your suffering when we suffer. And when we suffer, we thank you for the word that you give us in 1 Peter, I believe, that we can then take our suffering and help others who suffer and encourage them. We thank you that Christ, who is our Savior and Lord, is the perfect example of how to suffer under an overbearing husband, and how to suffer the disrespectful wife, and how to suffer ungodly parents and ungodly children for your name's sake. Even how in our work, in our workplaces, how to suffer horrible workers or lazy workers, and suffer masters or bosses who are tyrants. We do so by looking at your Son and his sacrifice on the cross, his suffering for us. That there's a greater purpose than just pain or receiving what we receive. But even so that those who see our suffering would see the grace that you're working in us, that they would then glorify the Father who is in heaven. Father, may that be in our suffering, that many would see, even hear what we say through the Word of God and the Scriptures and the Gospel. They would hear the Word and believe as you send your Spirit. Father, may there not be any here who do not come and follow after your Son Jesus. But that they would all come. We would all come. We would come quickly, knowing that you have numbered our days just so, or we don't know the day that we will have our last breath. But you know. And so send your Spirit and cause us to believe by your Spirit, changing our hearts and our desires, that we would desire and seek after you. Father, we ask that your Son would keep pleading for us, keep being our advocate, and you would hear his prayers and hear our prayers as they are perfected by him now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.